Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I'm here to help you make peace with food. That means no more counting calories or carbs, no more thinking about food all the time. It really is possible to lose weight and gain health all without ever going on another diet. And if you'd like to join me today, I have a special guest here, which I'm going to tell you about in a moment. The number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. 818-602-4929. So what's the key to making peace with food? The simple, but actually not so simple answer is that you got to change the way you relate to you, the way you relate to yourself. For example, when you're self-critical, you're going to feel bad. And when you feel bad, you may turn to food for distraction and comfort just to get away from your own self-critical voice. When you're loving and responsive to yourself, you don't need food to numb, escape, or comfort. So self-love and self-care is the answer. Now, you may be wondering, sounds good, but how the heck can I be loving to myself when I feel so terrible about myself? That's where today's guest comes in. My guest today is Dr. Theo Kasuli. He's a board-certified chiropractor, a hypnotherapist, a leading holistic healer, and author of several books, including the one we're going to talk about today. It's called Be a Master of Self-Love. This is a comprehensive guide to loving yourself, and it combines mental, spiritual, physical, medical, and holistic approaches to self-love. So whether you have been bullied, you grew up with abusive parents, whether you bully yourself, have had drug abuse, sexual assault, or just a lot of failure in your life, Dr. Kasuli's book is going to give you a lot of effective and supportive tips for boosting your self-love and self-esteem. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So welcome, Dr. Theo Kasuli.
Thank you so much, Dr. Nina. I really appreciate being here. Thank you. Great introduction. Thank you so much.
I just speak the truth. All I do is speak the truth. Right?
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Then let's speak some truth today.
All right. Well, I know that you are now a healer, a person who saves the lives of other people. You provide incredible transformation, but you have your own personal story. Actually, lots of things that have happened to you that you've overcome. So you know what it's like to feel self-doubt. And you know what it's like to change.
I've been in the trenches. That's
right. Tell us about the trenches.
The trenches, they're not a glamorous place, let me tell you. But they are a very helpful avenue for rising like the phoenix out of the fire. Started off being a young child like everybody else, but I started getting a lot of beatings in school. I didn't understand why I would cry to my mother after school. And it was like, why are kids and why are people so mean and cruel? I was beat down constantly every day in grade school. And it started in kindergarten and went all the way through grade school. I mean, we're talking like 12 years of beatings every day after school, getting picked on, gum in the hair, waiting for that 3 o'clock bell to ring so I can run home. I didn't want to get caught between school and home. I wanted to run home. So the bullies were always waiting for me, and that was tough. I almost committed suicide at age 10. I had the razors to my wrists, and by some godly miracle, all of a sudden, the razors fell. I heard an internal voice say "no" in Greek, "ohi," and just I had an epiphany at that moment that the world was sick, not me. Mm-hmm. It wasn't me. It was the people dumping energy on me, like the kids at school that were picking on me, had troubles at home, and at that moment, like the healer and inborn healer came out. And it was very interesting. I didn't know it at the time because I had a lot of psychic experiences as a child, a lot of things that were happening, voices. I would talk to what I know now to be my guides. But then everyone thought I was crazy talking to him, murmuring into the air. It was very interesting as a child. If I had the guidance, I think, from a younger age, I would have totally been a lot more stable early on. But I see how everything worked out to give me the ability right now to help people. I had to go through a very dark time in my youth, and I look at it back as a blessing. At the time, it was a curse. You know, and I'm telling everybody, anyone that's hurting right now, it's only temporary. You have to learn the lessons. When you learn the lessons and you see people for who they are and what they're trying to teach you, because everybody, the bullies were a teacher. You know, I can see it now and say they were teaching me something.
Yes, because you now can interpret it as that. I love what you say in the book. You write, you said you wrote this book for the people like myself, this is you writing, right, who have struggled with self-love, depression, and who have looked high and low for a source of positivity in a seemingly negative world. And so often the way we interpret what happens to us affects the way that we think about ourselves. Like kids who are treated badly often think they're bad.
Right.
And then they internalize it. And when people treat you badly, also people become unsafe.
Right.
And food is safe.
Food is safety. Sex is safety. Drugs are safety. It's a way out. People start to look into those areas. And it's unfortunately a very short lived kind of escape. It can cause a lot more problems than the actual solution, which is basically go to the root of the problem. And as a chiropractor, I like to look at the root of the problem as well. And as a hypnotherapist, we look at the root of the problem, and both combined are just a very strong therapy. And you know, with diet as well, and helping people change, you know, their habits.
I look at the root. In fact, that's one of the things I talk about all the time. Going on a diet, on another food plan, or a diet, or whatever you want to call it, it's like plucking weeds. It will grow back.
Yes.
You've got to look at the root, which is, you can't see it, but you know it's there. It grows the weed.
It
just
must
like
be.
It's what's unconscious, often what's hidden from us, is what has the most effect on us.
Yes, and we usually, when people have these kinds of challenges, they actually are hiding it from themselves in a way, in an unconscious way, so that they can learn from the problems. It's really interesting. The problem is actually your biggest teacher in many ways. So when I was bullied, at the time, I didn't know, but I started to learn about psychology of people. Then an interesting thing happened. I changed the way I looked because I went and bought some cool clothes. At the time, it was IOUs and Cavaricci's and Jordans and stuff like that, the beginning ones. And I put them on, and people saw me, and they said, "Who the heck are you?" You know, and then they started wanting to become my friend. And I said, "Wow, what a fake facade of a friendship you're giving me here. I'm the same person. I just changed my exterior." And I saw a very powerful aspect of psychology at that time. It's like what to fit in and to be what other people want includes you. But if you're special in your own way, it excludes you. And it's very interesting how people need to get back to the root of who they are and be confident in their ability to be themselves in a very crazy, sick world.
Yeah, I mean, as you're talking, I was thinking about so many people who have lost weight and then regained it as if their thinner self was somehow the wrong thing to do. They wanted it, but when they got thin, mm-hmm. there was some fear, unknown fear attached to that that they couldn't bear. But they didn't know that. They just, from their perspective, it's, I have no willpower. I just started eating again. So when we last left you, you were 10. You had a razor to your wrist.
Yeah.
Tell us how you got from 10 to being Dr. Theo Kasuli, who's very wise about all things chiropractic and psychological.
After that scenario, I went deep within, got the help I needed from guidance counselors, my parents, and also the Bible. I mean, I was actually reading the Bible and learned a lot about an individual that loved me. You know, this Christ figure, you know, this Christ consciousness now, as people like to say, and they try to get away from religion. And it wasn't really religion. It was more of like a knowing, a gnosis inside of me. That thing that stopped me from slicing my wrists was in some way, shape, or form an external part of me, an outside, unseen person, entity, whatever, that I knew was real and I can feel. Now, I went into a dark time after that, just not getting... I wanted to fit in. In school, you want to fit in.
Oh, so, hold that thought. We have a call. Hi, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Dr. Kasuli. Hello? Hello, can you hear us? Hello? Okay, I'm going to hang up now. Sorry about that.
It was the spirit. It was calling.
That's right. It's like, I'm here.
It was the spirit calling in. Now, what's the number in case somebody wants to call live?
The number here is 818-602-4929.
Okay, 818-602-4929. 4929, if anybody on Instagram or Facebook is looking to call in. So, basically, where we left off at.
You were talking about feeling this, I guess you're saying through your discovery of Jesus, you felt this sense of lovability.
Yes, yes. I started to gain confidence and gain a understanding of love, of what I thought was love. Obviously, I didn't get a real understanding of love until later, after my first heart surgery, which before that, I went to Greece with my parents, and we were going on vacation. In Greece, we were wrestling, and someone was on my shoulders, and we were wrestling. The guy on my shoulders fell, took my head with him, snapped my neck. I went semi-paralyzed on my arm, and my heart and my chest started feeling like it was compressed. It had a lot of pain. In order to talk to you, I'd have to move my whole body. I couldn't move my neck. So that went on for about 2 months, even after I came from Greece in the States. You know, surgery, massage, pills, all these different things. But chiropractic was just kind of getting started at that time. So my dad didn't want to take me to the chiropractor because he thought he'd be losing more money. They wanted an MRI. MRI at that time, it was like $2,000. So I went to a chiropractor because we went to the mall, we were driving by, and we saw this very busy practice right on the corner in my hometown. And I was like, we got to go there. Just I felt like that was the answer. I was like being pulled, right? Mm-hmm. That's the answer. So I went, and I was actually looking up, just looking at these lights here, and I was like, please don't kill me, you know? Don't further
don't
paralyze.
Don't snap my neck.
Don't snap my neck and paralyze, because I had a very limited, just like most people, a very limited understanding of what chiropractic can do. The man put me on the table, showed me everything he was going to do, showed me the x-rays. He's like, this, this, and this, I'm going to realign your flow. I said, I don't know what the heck you're going to do, just do it, you know? I'm in pain, just do it. So, you know, I prayed at that time. I was like, please don't let him kill me. And then as soon as he moved his hands in the maneuver, he adjusted my spine, my cervical neck right here. As soon as he did that, it was like thunder came through me. Electricity started pouring through me. Tingling started in my hands again. My heart, my chest started moving correctly. I had no pain in my shoulders and my neck. And within a few visits, it was gone completely. But it had like left around 90% after the first adjustment. And I said, why didn't I come here first? And this is power. This is power. You gave me back my life. You know, all the other medical establishment with the coats and their degrees on the wall, they couldn't do what you just did for me. This was special. And at the same time, I was asking God, what do I do with my life? At the same time. So it's very interesting how everything kind of flowed together and gave me that experience. And then at that point, I told my dad, I'm going to chiropractic school. Oh. He almost wrote me out of the will. I mean, he thought I'd shame the family. He wanted me to become a medical doctor. I said, great, I love what they do, but this I experienced. I experienced firsthand. No drugs, no surgery, just moved some things. I was just like wowed. And that to me was just amazing. Now, I'm not a basher of the medical community. Obviously, I'm alive because of the medical community, which I'll get to that in a second. But I saw how there's another way, the Eastern way, the 6,000-plus years of Hippocrates and herbs and healing and chiropractic and all these things. So eventually I was to marry the ideas and the chiropractic with hypnosis. But then after that, one of the medical doctors, when I went into a routine checkup, told me that your heart is actually getting big. It's getting cardiomegaly. You have cardiomegaly. And I said, oh, my God, another health challenge coming up, right? My biggest one yet, because they said that if we don't... Now, I went into the cardiologist's room, and we sat there with my father, and we were all worried. We were all concerned. I wasn't. It hadn't hit me yet what's about to happen. And as I'm sitting there, the cardiologist looks down at his paperwork, you know, after all the echoes and all the tests. We're trying to find out why I was blacking out for no apparent reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was weird. I always knew I had a heart valve murmur, but we didn't know what was going on. So he looks down, he looks at me stoically, And he says, you have 8 months left to live. And I'm 28 years old. 28 years old. He says, you have 8 months left to live. And if we don't change that, the heart valve, you're going to internally bleed and you're going to die.
Oof.
Yeah. At 28 years old, you think your whole life is ahead of you, right? And I just had the semi-paralysis thing not that long ago, and I also had the beatings and all that going through. So here we go. We're going to add more stuff. You know, God's like, here, we can handle it. Nothing you can't handle unless it kills you, right? So just pat, put some more stuff on you. So we came to terms after he said what my options were. He's like, you have two options if you want to live. One, you can take an artificial valve and then have blood thinners the rest of your life. You'll be checking your blood thinners, you know, making sure that you don't have too much or too little blood running through the thickness. Or you can take a valve from a pig or a cow or from a dead person. We'll find out which one it is when we go further, when you make a choice. I said, well, what about with the artificial? I mean, the one from a cow or a valve. I'm not going to go moo. He's like, no, but the valve itself is not your tissue, so it's going to be rejected after a while. You have to watch your activity levels and all that, but you won't be on blood thinners. You'll live a normal life. It'll give you another 10 years, 15 years maybe. So I thought about it, I prayed about it, and I said, I'm going to do it with the cow valve. I'm going to go with the cow valve. So they said, okay, well, you're going to have another surgery down the road. You know that. I was like, I'm cool. I'm fine with it. I had to just become fine with it. Now, not many people are okay with that. They take the metal valve, and then they take blood thinners the rest of their life.
Right.
But blood thinners, over a period of time, it's tough on the body. It's tough on the body regulating. It's just like diabetes. You always have to regulate your insulin. This is your blood thickness. So we went through the surgery. They told me that they were going to try to repair my own heart valve. If they couldn't, then they would put the cow valve. It was a hard surgery. I bled internally after they repaired mine. They had to go back in emergency second time. They got me out. My mom's praying, like, basically bringing all kind of icons and all this stuff out in the waiting room. And I made it. I came out, and I healed, and I was in the gym within 2 months, pumping iron with 45 days.
Amazing.
It was pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And they're like, what did you do? I said, well, I meditated. I eat great foods. I watch comedy. I didn't have anything negative. I didn't think about what you guys told me about the percentages of stroke, the percentages of death. I didn't think of any of that. I just thought of myself being back to normal 100%.
Visualization, in a way.
Visualization, kind of hypnosis, too, kind of going into dreamlike states with my thought process clean and healthy. And then also getting up and moving around, letting the body know, hey, you're fine now. You got the new valve. You're going. Okay? 10 years later, just in 2016, it was time again. So I went back in.
Mm-hmm.
And in this time, it was even faster than the first time. I mean, usually second surgeries are harder, right? This was even faster. Within 2 months, I was back in my office working on people.
So some people might go through this experience and think, you know, why am I targeted by the universe?
Oh,
what's wrong?
I went through all that.
Right. But ultimately, it's the exigencies of life. Like, you just, things randomly happen. It isn't necessarily for some reason, unless you make a reason out of it. And you can make the reason of, I'm screwed by the universe, or you can make the reason of, the universe is showing me how resilient I am, how tough I am. I've got to get something from this that is going to help me and others. And it sounds like that's the path you took.
You can take two paths when you have adversity. You can take the path of least resistance, which is what everybody takes, or you can take the one where you look at, you know, head on as a Spartan or a bull, and you just say, you know what, let's rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let's do this. Let's do this dance.
That's the only way change happens.
That's true.
Yeah.
Change happens when you learn the lesson and you want to. You know what it's teaching you. It's teaching you, hey, this isn't working out, or maybe there's a better way, or change your views. Now I look into, why did I go through all these things? And I say, well, look, it's the heart. Does that mean I didn't love? Yeah, my parents just were in a loveless relationship. So I went into a loveless relationship where I had to heal my parents, and I had to actually be like the counselor between both my mother and my father. But at the same time, I was learning how to love. So this lifetime seems to be a loving type of... that's why the cover has that breakthrough heart.
Breakthrough heart,
breakthrough,
yes.
Heart.
Yeah, hold it up. So And it's not just about loving other people. It's about when you're bullied. It's about recognizing how being bullied makes you bully yourself.
That's true.
And
very true.
And the change is not just how you relate to other people. The change is first how you relate to yourself. Because when you're mean to yourself, people who are mean to you seem like people who know you really well. But when you're kind to yourself, here's another caller, then you will not tolerate that.
No, we won't. You'll be steadfast in your decision to be strong.
Welcome, caller. You're on with Dr. Nina and Dr. Kasulis. Kasuli, sorry.
Yes,
I added an S.
That's okay.
Hello? Hello? Oh, we seem to be having some trouble getting through. So if you're out there trying to call us, I am so sorry. I'm gonna see what's going on and have our engineer look at this, and hopefully it'll be rectified. I'm just letting him know. So it's about not doing to yourself often what was done to you. And in one of your chapters, you say, you know, to know thyself is to love thyself, and recognizing, you know, your strengths and your capacities. And oh, here they're trying again. Let's see.
Keep trying the phone lines. I'm here.
Hi, caller. Can you hear us? Hello?
They're calling, and then
they're calling, but they're not. They're not. I think they're not hearing us.
Spirits.
Someone is. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, callers. I know that you're trying to get through. If you want to tweet at me or send me an email, I'll try to check and get your questions.
Again, some people on the Instagram. Hello from Peru. Hello, Carla. Everybody, and love you guys.
Okay, so to know thyself is to love thyself. Tell me about that chapter.
Well, that chapter is basically the basis of what is all about loving yourself. It's the basis of what steps you need to take in order to feel that exact connection with why you deserve to be here on the earth, why you deserve to be loved, why you deserve to be a human being with, you know, a spiritual being and a human experience, all these different things that give you the basis that many people do not explain early on and from childhood.
And often don't experience. Oh, just an update, you guys. Our engineer was just here in the studio, hopefully adjusting things. And so if you call back, hopefully we can hear you. Yeah, I mean, you said that your parents are in a loveless marriage, and so what was modeled for you was a lack of love.
Exactly.
And we only learn how to love ourselves by how we are treated, right? When we're treated in a loving way, we are loving to ourselves. Okay,
we're
a brave
sponges.
Caller is calling back. Let's see if it works. Hi, caller. Can you please tell me you can hear me? No?
Okay.
No, I heard somebody.
I heard something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I don't know. We're having some kind of crazy technical weirdness. I apologize. So we're just going to keep talking.
Okay. Yes, that chapter specifically is about the basics of wanting to learn the things that you weren't taught about loving yourself and how to continue from there and build on, because it is a building experience. Loving yourself, you have to look. I went through so many different things. I know there's so many people out there that are going through. I hear them all the time. They come in as patients and they say, "I'm going through this. My girlfriend left me, or my husband is cheating, or you know, I just failed an exam, or all these things." And these are all challenges that you can look at and say, "Well, how do you love yourself through something like that? You know, you have a spouse leaving you. How do you love yourself when they don't love you? They don't see the special stuff in you anymore. What do you do?"
Or a parent who never loved you or didn't act in a loving way.
Right. Parents might be on drugs. Parents may be leaving their spouse and then not caring about the child. I mean, there's so many, and that's so true. What you said earlier is, like, we think it is us as children. Well, like, we don't know, because the ID and the ego are being built as a child. So there has to be strong parenting. And I really go back to this a lot, is the parenting is, it's not... in society, it's not so much the guns, it's not so much the friends, it's not so much the circles, it's the parenting. It's the parenting.
And this is true whether you are 14 or 85, because even if you're not living with your parents anymore, they live on in your mind, and you've got to learn how to be a kind, good parent to yourself.
Correct.
That's everything.
And with food, you specialize in helping people with diets. You know that if they see their mother and father throwing down tons of sugary foods and eating fast foods all the time, the likelihood of them not being obese is so small when they get older. You know, so it's like you're a sponge as a child. You're picking it all up, and you know, you're going to do monkey see, monkey do.
Of course. I can't tell you how many times I've been at the store and I've heard parents say, like, okay, you have to behave, and if you're good, I'll give you a cookie when we get home. And
they
I'm
failed.
Just like, oh, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Walk away now, because I just want to say,
they failed, didn't they?
You are setting up your child to expect food as a reward. You're setting up your child to expect food as, you know, some kind of compensation for not getting, you know, what you want or whatever. A cookie should just be a snack. It mm-hmm. should not be a reward. It should
right.
not be, you know, a bribe.
A bribe.
So
parents want to be like their best friends with their kids. No, they're supposed to be parents, not best friends. You can't bribe a child to love you any more than they already do. Show them respect by knowing that they're an autonomous individual, but also respect yourself as a parent. So this child is learning from me, and I am the teacher, not the student. You know, but we are the students too, in a way as well, with
yeah.
children.
Yeah, we are. If we're willing to learn from them.
That's true.
So one of the things you say in one of these chapters is rediscover or discover your talents.
Yes, yes. I mean, what are we here for? We're here to have joy and have fun and love one another, and also to discover why we can share what we can share with other people. And how you do that: rediscover your talents. Do you draw? Do you sing? Oh, I'm okay with singing. I'm okay. I'm not that good. Develop it. Maybe you have a tenor voice, or maybe you're an alto. Maybe you got something in there that people would love to hear. You can actually soothe emotions with song. You know, are you an artist? Let people see your magnificence. Create something. Oh, I'm an actor. I don't know. Maybe I'm... Take it full force. You know, if one thing I can tell you from what I've experienced, your time here is limited in this lifetime. I mean, I do believe in reincarnation. I do believe that you come back and all that to recreate. But some people, you look at some people and they're like, they're excellent at manifesting money, for instance. That didn't come from somewhere else. God doesn't say you're going to manifest money and you're going to be poor the rest of your life. They worked on it. They learned it. They came back from a previous life that they were king or queen and knew what their worth was. You know, there's so many different aspects, and we're seeing that with esoteric sciences and subconscious sciences. We're seeing that regression hypnotherapy. I see that all the time, where people are like, okay, this is why I'm having this fidgety thing and this bad habit. I picked it up over there. It's really interesting.
It is interesting. A long time ago, I did... And I am so not like someone who usually does stuff like this, but I just, something pulled, like as you said, something pulled you to the chiropractor. Something pulled me to do past life regression therapy. Now, I looked at it as it's going to access my unconscious, and the conflicts that I'm going to talk about are going to be like my unconscious conflicts, like a dream kind of. And I thought, oh, I know what I'll be. I'll be like some European woman, who, you know, living this fabulous life. I don't know what I thought. Right. I was kind of full of myself at the time. And I, like, the first one, I was like a little, like a 10-year-old boy who fell overboard on a ship in the 1600s. The second one, I was like some Hawaiian woman who died of pneumonia. And the third one, I was a Chinese woman who was drowned in my bath because I was going to leave some man, and my parents went, anyway, it's
the
whole
three,
thing.
Three, you went through three lifetimes of trauma in one session?
No. This was over like four.
Okay.
Four.
I was like, wow.
Oh, no,
pretty
four.
Impressive.
And then I went somewhere. I went to an acupuncturist, and she took my pulse. I don't smoke, nothing. And she's like, so three, drowned, and pneumonia. And she's like, your lung pulse is really low. Do you smoke? And I just thought, oh, I can't explain that, but it was pretty cool,
that's
have to
awesome.
Say.
And then what did you do to How did that help you kind of understand the situation? Did you feel more calm around water? Did you feel more at ease with cold weather?
No, I hate water to this day.
But you understand why.
But I also had had a near drowning experience in this life as a kid. But there were other themes of that, which is about authority and standing up for authority and my principles, and thematically those wove through. So whether it was my unconscious or actual past lives, which who knows, possibly both. I've just found it fascinating.
It gives you information that you can't get from a conscious awareness at the at the usual doctor's office, which is amazing.
Exactly. That's why with being a psychoanalyst, interpreting dreams is so powerful, because it gives you, it's a window to your unconscious.
You're downloading powerful information. Yes. I actually wrote that in my Be a Master of Psychic Energy book, specifically on doing a sleep study, while you're sleeping to find out what's going on. Record yourself. It's been very helpful for me as well.
I should mention, you guys, that Dr. Kasuli has written, what is it now, nine books.
I co-authored one of them, so nine books.
He has a Be a Master series that you can get on his website.
We have seminars coming again, opening up your third eye and your chakra and your ability if you're a healer or you want to be. Remote viewing, how to do readings, psychic readings, and how to learn how to do the beginning steps of channeling as well.
Ooh, that sounds really interesting. I think I want to do that.
There's a lot of material. I'm trying to figure out how to put it together now.
Hi, caller. Can you hear me? No, nothing.
That's a shame.
Whatever the problem is, I don't think it's resolved. So I'm sorry, you guys. I'm unresolved. Okay. So let's get back to the person who at the start of the show is saying, okay, I want to love myself, but I don't have any talents, and all I do is beat myself up because I look in the mirror and I hate what I see.
Stop looking in the mirror. Stop hating what you see.
How do I stop? Okay, so how do I stop? How do I stop hating what I see?
Okay, can you feel gratitude for anything? That's the number one thing. Can you feel gratitude? Can you feel gratitude that you today are breathing and someone else just passed away? Their chance of making whatever they needed to make or create is gone. Can you now say, you know what? I'm in a little bit more of a positive perspective than before. Now, that's where you start. And anybody can do that.
Yeah.
Anybody can say, I'm breathing. I got blood through my veins. That's a good thing. You can start there. Then you go from there and you start to say, well, what am I good at? Oh, I'm good at being class clown. Okay, well, that could be a negative for most people, but for other people, hey, that's a possible comedian in the future. Maybe I can work on my jokes, maybe even get better. Maybe go into a very positive joke kind of mode where I'm not using profanity. Then I can be even more positive.
Wouldn't that be nice? There's
a lot of great comedians like Sebastian Maniscalco. I don't know if you know Sebastian. I love his work. He's very positive. He appeals to all audiences, and he basically talks about things that you in your mind have already thought about. It's really, really great work. So, and he's from the East Coast, Italian, I think, from the East Coast. But there's always something that you can find, and you can build from it. And that's why I work with my patients. I help them build from that. And also, chakra and energy work. When you work with a person's spine, you're working with their chakras as well. And if you know how to reprogram thought processes and belief systems, you can change their life. And that's what I specialize in. I specialize in basically hacking your nervous system in a good way to help you live a life that is basically, where your dreams are.
Yeah, you and I do the same thing, just from a
different perspective.
Yeah.
We're seeing that a lot come into fruition now with mass consciousness. It's like a demand, so we're just filling that demand.
Yeah, well, you make a good point in your gratitude is the best attitude sort of first suggestion, because often we see the evidence we look for. And just the other day I was saying to someone, and I've said it a lot, I probably said it on air before, so if you've heard it before, it's not bad to hear it again. So if you could drive on the LA freeways and you could say LA drivers are horrible, and they would cut you off and they'd flip you off and they'd be horrible,
yes.
Or you could, okay, one more time. Cross your fingers, everyone. Let's hope for the best.
Let's hope the caller can get through.
Caller, can you hear me? No. Hello? Hello? No.
Is it? Are they on over there?
No. So what's happening is the engineer has taken over the control, and he's trying to figure out what's going on. So you could say that, and you'd find the evidence that there are the bad drivers. Or you could say, actually, there are good drivers in L.A., and you drive the same stretch of freeway, and right. they'd, like, wave at you. Now that I have my i3, electric car, everyone with an i3 is like, hey there, very friendly. Yeah. They'll let you in. They'll wave at you. They're nice. And you say, oh, okay, so which is true? Both are true. Which are you going to focus on?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's true. You have so many drivers on the freeway, and I also say to people, "Oh, traffic was horrible getting here." When they tell me that, I tell them, "Listen, if you had taken some time to meditate that there would be no traffic before you actually got in your car, you might find it that there would be less traffic." And they're like, "No way!" And then they try it, and they're like, "You know what? There was green lights all the way." I was just like, "What? See?"
Right. So you take that perspective when you look in the mirror. You can look in the mirror and say, oh, I hate my stomach. I hate my thighs. I hate my chin. I can't go out and be seen by people. Or you can look in the mirror and say, you know what? I have a nice smile, beautiful eyes. I like my hair. I have strong legs. Right. I have, it's your interpretation of what you're seeing that affects how you feel about yourself.
Right. I have a patient who wanted to do a nose job done. And she was really self-reflective about how bad her nose was. And as a kid, she got beaten up and teased about it. And I said, well, what is it you want? And she's like, I want to have a great nose. I was like, why don't you have a great nose? She's like, I don't know why. I was like, you do have power. And we have so many plastic surgeons in Beverly Hills. Not that I'm like advocate or I condone it or whatever. I'll do a side note. Plastic surgery should be done to emphasize your internal beauty when you are confident already internally.
Amen.
Not because you're looking for love. That's the heart. That's how I also talk about it in the book. Right. But she, how did she get over that? She's like, she came to the realization that she could afford it. She was like, oh, it's too expensive. So it was like so high in her mind. She had issues with money. She had issues with her looks. She had issues with being perceived correctly. She had issues with self-love, all these things. It wasn't just a nose. The nose was the tipping point of the iceberg. And underneath, you had all this other stuff. That's every single patient. They'll come in with a shoulder problem or a neck problem. It's so much more underneath. And if it's as a doctor, if you're not looking at all those other parts, specifically the mental and the connection to spiritual, like how do they fit in the world? Are they healthy in that matter? I think there's a big chunk of information missing from the treatment.
Yeah, I wish more doctors would be aware of that psychological piece. I mean, I'm thinking about people who come in and say, oh, every night I eat so much I'm in actual physical pain. And how can I stop eating? And my question is, what is the emotional pain that you're converting to physical pain?
Exactly.
You've got to look at the why, not the what.
Very much so. I see that in every case.
Yeah. And who decided her nose was not a good nose? Like if you, I saw these ads from, I don't know, they were from the 20s, no, maybe earlier than the 20s, or maybe later, sometime in either 1915 or 1930, there were these ads, and it was to help skinny women gain weight. So they would show this skinny woman, and guys are just passing her by because she's just skinny and therefore unappealing. And then she takes this product and gains weight in all the right places, but she gains weight and she's sort of got a figure, and now she's got like all these men around her. She's like, oh, I'm no longer skinny and sad. Now I'm voluptuous and happy. Yes. And so what we idealize today then was seen as quite unappealing.
Right. We have a big problem in society these days. It's worse, I think, every week, every month, every year. And that's the understanding, like, of what you are as a human being and what you're deserving of. It's becoming very computerized. It's becoming very social media. It's becoming very apathetic. And it's dangerous. It's really dangerous. The AI is coming before we even know who the heck we are. And we're going to have some society issues, more than what we've ever seen before, once the computers become mates, because that's coming down the road. I mean, there's
Alexa.
Yes. Alexa's the intro.
Alexa is, and Google, you know, they...
God bless them for what they've done to connect people. I mean, it's tough because we're on social media right now, right? And it's part of, it's how we get our message across. But there is a healthy line that we've passed. We've passed the healthy line into uncharted territory, which is good. Self-discovery is good. But who's got the power? And how are they using that power to manipulate and control people? Because that's definitely, we see with the Facebook recent hearings that were going on. You know, even he didn't know all the answers, and he couldn't give testimony for something that we all know is going behind closed doors.
Right.
It's scary, mm-hmm. right? Because we, as a hypnotist, and in what you do as well, you know the power of the mind, and you know that the people who know the rules can manipulate the rules. You know, and you can use it for good, and you can use it for dark. And there's many people out there using it for not so good reasons, not so good things.
Especially now.
Especially now. Yeah. Yeah, because they want control, they're egotistical, they're maniacs, whatever it may be. Yeah, that is very much real.
And actually, the political situation in this country is causing a lot of my patients to be very, very terrified and scared, and it's kind of regressed them back to a time when they were powerless as children and afraid right. of scary parents. And, you know, the answer is to remember what you're, part of the answer is to deal with the past, but also remember when those things happened to you, when you were powerless or bad things happen, that was not you, but you are that person.
Right.
So you now have strengths and capacities and abilities that you didn't have at an earlier time in your life.
Correct. Yeah.
And to utilize them and to hang on to them and to remember.
Yes. Yeah. And it's interesting when you tell that to somebody and they wake up. When they wake up, it's a beautiful thing. It's like a butterfly from a caterpillar. They transform. And you see them just compound the strength. One of the biggest things I've seen is patients that they come in and they never heard their parents tell them, I'm proud of you, or I love you. It's like the biggest seed, you know, water and seed to a plant. You know, it's the same thing to a child. You have to give them that. You know, I myself didn't get much of that, so I had to learn it myself.
And give it to yourself.
And give it to yourself as well.
And that kind of brings us full circle down back to self-love.
Right.
You know, because if you treat yourself, if you're always looking at what you're not doing right, if you always look in the mirror and think, I should be something different than what I see in the mirror, if you're always looking at what you're not and not appreciating who you are,
right.
you're always going to feel terrible. But when you yes. can look at who you are, what you've done, yeah, there's always more to do. But be appreciative of what you have done.
Right.
You'll feel good.
Yeah, fabulous. You have to definitely look internally, though. I like we said before, you can't look and like these poor girls on Instagram and Facebook, Instagram models or whatever. They're always taking pictures of body parts, and it's the saddest thing. And they're like, "Oh, you want to follow me?" No, I don't want to follow anything like that. I want to follow. It's negative. You're continuously in pain. I know that you're smiling on the internet, but you're totally crying. And you're lonely, and it's sad.
Yeah, there's a very, very disturbing objectification of both women and men, girls and boys, that's happening now.
If you want to talk about men, there's no men. Where are the men? I get all my patients with all the women, they're like, where are the men? I said, I have to agree with you. They're gone. They're gone because they've been beat down by society that tells them that it's not okay to be masculine. And they have effeminates, you know, everything is being effeminate now. And women, you know, that just want to have the husband, that want to have the kids, that want to have the protector and the lover, you know, all these things. It's painful to see that. Tell them, you know what? You may have to go to another country to find that. It's changed here.
And idea that you are what you look like is also very disturbing. Like you are the person in the mirror, not you're a person who wants to, as you say, like be married, raise a family, be, you know, have a good life, yeah. Feel good about, you know, raising a new generation of people. Like that in itself is an amazing thing to do. Which that's not okay anymore. You've got to be like a quadruple hyphenate. But it's, you can only have that if you look a certain way, like look like Barbie. And guys tell me like, hey, you know, we have to have like a 6-pack, an 8-pack, like otherwise we have dad bods or, you know, the crazy pressure on everybody to just focus on what they look like and forget who they are.
Yeah.
Is unfortunate.
But we have to look to the future at the same time that we look at the past. Because I remember the 80s and 90s. Beautiful times. And I think no millennial will actually know what that felt like, is to be able to play with your Tonka truck outside and not have to be immediately on the social media. I mean, that time, developing as a child and seeing your imagination flow, is a beautiful thing. You know, and now they're doing their imagination with another, in a different way. So it's tough because you're in a position where you know previously the generation that we lived in, Generation X, right? And then you have the millennials, and you have to kind of help them understand some of the principles that they have no idea how to conceptualize.
My daughter is 10, and the idea of talking to her friend means only one thing, FaceTime. Like I told her, you know, there was a day when you used the phone to talk to another person, you couldn't see them, and maybe if they weren't there, you'd get an answering machine. And she's like, what was it like in the Stone Age, Mom?
Isn't it amazing? We're now in the Stone Age. Wow. Well, I'm 41 next month, so it's just like it's really interesting to look at that and say, wow, how fast that time went. And I'm grateful that I am actually able to say I'm 41 because it could have been cut off at 28. And that brings me back to, you know, getting all these books out. I mean, I've written, within the last 5 years, I've written all the books that I've written, but by putting everything that I've learned into the series. And I've had people from all over the world sending me thank you letters. It's like, it's beautiful because it's like my heart can reach out to their heart and they, you know, and help them heal. And then they're like, this is what I needed. It came at the right time, at the right place. And now I'm not going to kill myself. Now I'm going to look at my mom and dad situation better. I'm going to love my sister. I'm going to love my girlfriend. And it's a simple read. It's a simple, quick read.
Well, and it is. It's like little bites of knowledge and inspiration.
33
and it's doable.
33 things that can help you be a little bit better to yourself. You know, and you just do 10 of them.
And we really only covered a few of them today, but there are a lot of them in all areas of self-love, your body, your mind, your health.
Yes, the body specifically. You know, meditation, prayer, have fun while you're exercising and get yourself in the zone. Travel the world, you know, travel even small things. You know, even a weekend getaway to kind of get you out of the routine. You know, dive into nature. Give yourself some grace. You know, people don't give themselves grace. You know, focus on your first relationship, which is you, and not on everyone else. It's many times, countless times, I see, oh, I have to make this person happy. I got to make this person happy. It's like, no, your happiness only depends on you, nobody else. And that's something hard for most people.
So I know you have some seminars coming up. People can get this book. They can get the other 8 books in the series. How can people find you? Tell us.
Instagram, drkasuli.com. Facebook, drkasuli.com. Or Dr. Kasuli at drkousouli, which is like, you know, the kus and then the soul and then the I. And it's like I say Bruce Lee doing Kung Fu. You know, Bruce and then the soul and then E. You know, Kasuli.
Kousouli.
It's like almost like couscous, kind of.
But with a K.
With a K, now see. Yeah. Couscous. It's funny. It's on my page like that. Dr. Couscous.
I'm also going to post the link to to his website on the LA Talk Radio site, which will
probably
be on the iTunes description as well.
But make it easier, beamaster.com. That goes to my website as well. So Be a Master, it has the books. It has all the stuff. There's audio coming, hypnosis audio for everything in life that you want to master, whether it be your golf swing or you know, getting over your ex. You're going to have that coming soon.
And you also have some seminars?
Yes, the seminars are coming in the late winter, possibly beginning of next year because of all the projects going on. They've been delayed a little bit, so I apologize to all the people who have asked me for those. They're very powerful, so I have to really make them, you know, make them in a way and shape them in a way that I can get maximum learning and healing from the time because it's weekends, you know, usually. So it's a lot of work.
He has a lot going on. He has a lot to give you, and I definitely recommend you get the books. They will help you. They are easy to read, and they are inspirational. So thank you so much for being here. It was absolutely a pleasure.
And thank you so much for having me, Dr. Nina. It's been definitely a pleasure and an honor.
And I'm sorry for all you guys who tried to call in. You write me your questions, and maybe we'll have them back, and we'll go over those questions then.
Yes.
So that is our show for today. Thank you so much for joining me on the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific. You can listen live or listen later on iTunes. And if you like the show and you want more tips and tools and information and inspiration, check out my website, winthedietwar.com. I have lots of free giveaways to help you make peace with food and feel better. See you next week.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.